Okay, Rabbi Yisai. On Megillah Zeruz, Rabbi Yisai, we're Erev Shavuos. So we'll say something on the Megillah Zeruz. I want to tell you a powerful, short point. We find that Rus and Orpah, they both go together with Naomi initially, and they're both sisters, as we know, sisters-in-law. And as well as sisters-in-law, being both the daughters of Moab king, and they leave all the tremendous wealth behind, and they want to join the marry Machlon the Kilion, right? And they join Naomi after the death of their husbands. They join and they go with her, and then Naomi says, "Don't bother going with me. I have nothing to offer you. I have no money. I have no more children. I have nothing to offer you. Just go back to where you come from." And we know that Orpah does, hence she's called Orpah because of the Oireth, the neck that she shows. She turns back, she makes a U-turn, and she returns to where she comes from. However, Rus goes and continues her journey with Naomi. And and the rest is history, because Rus becomes one of those foremost and important and being the grandmother of David, Shloime, royalty is in within her family. Orpah, however, her descent is none other than Goliath. And she, it says, the Gemara tells us on the way back already, on the way back from returning from Megna U-turn, when Naomi tells her, don't go with me, don't go, just go back. Whilst Rus says, Basha Tolini Olin, wherever you go, I'll go, wherever you sleep, wherever you're going to be buried, I want to be buried. Wherever she, however, Orpah, in the meantime, she goes back, she makes a U-turn, she returns. It says, Gemara tells us, on the way back already, she was doing all terrible aveiros. On the way back, she does the terrible, terrible aveiros already on the way back. So what I want to point out is the following, that sometimes there are moments, it's very scary in a way. I'm just pointing something out. There's sometimes moments that are life-changing. This moment was crucial. Rus decided to stick on the Mesilas Nefesh. Orpah ever decided to, no, I can't do it, and she went back. It was a moment of truth. And at the moment it looked like a decision of just literally this direction or that direction. The result was that within minutes they had parted ways, within weeks they had different lives, within months they were different, within years, and within couple of generations, she had David as a grandson and she had Goliath as a grandson. There could be no greater difference. What one decision can sometimes make. Moment of truths. Decisions. How incredibly powerful and scary it really is that sometimes decisions can lead to a different history. I find that quite a powerful decision. A powerful decision sometimes can make. Yeah. Opa's yichus is, wow. Yeah. Yeah, yesh koine olam b'shah achas, that's right, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Rabbi Yisai, we're going to be learning Hilchas, last week's Zeich HaLachub, and I find it fascinating, and there's so much unknown, so much confusion and misunderstandings with these halachas. I enjoy very much whenever I learn those halachas. I find it so interesting. There's so much to discuss of it. So on page 72, the starting point is Gemara Bava Basra. Gemara Bava Basra tells, who is on tonight? Who have we gone zooming on? Who is zooming? Stephen?
Hey,
hello, Stephen and Jonathan. Good to see you. Rabbi Yisai, the Gemara tells us in The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that I believe it was he saw that some of his colleagues after the Churban Beis Hamikdash were not eating meat, and they're refraining from any meat. So he asked them, why not eating meat? And he says, listen, how can we eat meat when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed? Then he answered, he told them, he said, well, if you're not eating meat, because the meat represents the carbonos, when the Beis HaMikdash So he said, why not, you know, so you can't drink wine either. Because wine was also poured in the, was also used in the Beis HaMikdash. He said, yeah, taka. Yeah, let's not drink wine either, because he was used in the Beis HaMikdash. So then he replied, and he continued, he said, well, if that's the case, you can't have meat, because of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, meat was in the Beis HaMikdash, wine also, but you can't have fruit either, because Bikurim was fruit. Bikurim was fruit. So you can't have fruit either. And then they said, yeah, good point there. So we're not going to have fruit anymore. He said, but hold on a sec, there was Nisuch HaMayim in the Beis HaMikdash, used water. So surely you can't have water either. And they said, well,
you can't have bread as well.
You can't have bread. Gemara says, yeah, lechem aponim, you can't have bread. And then they said, well, outdone. So they said, well, what are we going to do? Because there is a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And it is only right and only sensible that we've got to refrain from certain things because of Chorban HaBayis. And he replied and he said, not the Maskan of the Gemara. It's a long shtick of Gemara. Gemara says, well, you're right. But we've got to do this in a certain measure. It's true. The essence is correct. We've got to refrain from doing certain things because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, not only in the 3 weeks, and not only in 9 days, and not only on Tisha B'Av, but there's a collective, year-long restrictions which we must keep to. This is true. But at the same time, we've got to do this, sensibly, we've got to do this reasonably, we've got to, you know, obviously, meat is fine, wine is fine, fruit's fine, water is certainly fine. So we've got to do this. So the Gemara says there's certain things, however, Chachamim established and made a real din that those things must be restricted. I think it's very, very interesting. I think it's really interesting. Gemara does say in context over there that there is such a concept of Gzeira She'ein Roiv HaTzibur Yecholim La'amid Bo. So Gemara says, we can't tell people not to eat meat. They're asking too much. Can't ask people not to drink wine. It's just too much. Can't ask people not to, it's just too much. It's not going to last. People are not going to stick to that. You've got to do this with things that is possible. So it does show, in a way, that there would have been a point of forbidding all this. But it's just not, it's not possible. People are not going to stick to it. How would you think about that? What do you think about this, Gemara? It's interesting. That really would have made sense to. So Lemaiseh, Chachamim made it. So what is it that is, what are the things that are restricted? Gemara says, I see, on top of page 72. Watch out. This is an interesting one. Whoever is a homeowner, watch out for this one. They made the decree in that very generation. You will not make, you know, to the finish of your house. You don't complete the building, the construction of your house, like the houses of kings and princes. Elo, rather, you're allowed to do the cement, the salt, the lime, and you leave behind an amo al amo. What's an amo al amo? Well, it's an amo al amo, a square amo. How much is an amo? Approximately. About 56 centimeter, kol chaznish, 48, b'chaim no, 48, how much is 48? 48? Is 48 centimeters?
A bit more, actually.
Yeah, like this? Yeah, 48.
You think of a 30 centimeter ruler and then...
Yeah, that's right, it's going to be quite, yeah, very good. So that 56 will probably be something like that. So an amo al amo, yeah, have to be left behind. Can I get a Pesach? Opposite the entrance, beloy sid, without the lime. Now, furthermore, and I'm going to get back to the first point shortly, if you do purchase a house, if you buy a house, and it's already all done, it's cemented with lime, with everything, you can leave it with its chazok, you can leave it the way you bought it, and you're not expected and required to scratch off the amon amo. You don't have to scratch it off. If you're doing it, the amo missing. But if you're buying it, and it's from a goy or whatever, it's all done, you don't have to scratch it off. Okay. Now, Now the Mishnebura points out in Sifkot Na'alev. This is the opinion of the Rambam. The Mishnebura brings in the name of the two, and that's how we paskan, that it's any, it doesn't have to be just the lime, it's any, you've got to just keep behind an amon amo, which doesn't have the finish, which doesn't have the paint, doesn't have the last, the amon amo has to be left behind. So the amon amo has to be left behind. So amon amo has to be left behind. The poskim, the poskim in the pre-war generation, I noticed, a lot of them ask, why are people not careful with that? Why are people not bothering doing it? Why are people not doing an amon amo in the house? You've got to do it. Look, the Mishnah in Sifkot Na'alev says, you've got to make a zikha in your house. What? Good. Okay. So the first answer is, which is very true, is if you're building it yourself. So if you're buying a house, which is all done up, and it's all, Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to scratch it off. It's true. That's probably one. It goes a long way. However, if you were to do it in your whilst you're in the house, you're living in a house, and over the years you're redecorating it. Then you would have to leave an amal behind. So it's a partial answer. The poskim say that it's a bit of a question why some people are making this various approach, but it doesn't seem so posh. Habayis, I want to point out what Yaakov Emden says. I think it's very interesting. If you look on the side. The Mishnebura point, the Dir Shu edition brings a very, very interesting Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Now it is true, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said some controversial things. And it is also true that Rabbi Yaakov Emden has said things which is not necessarily, and all these things are in total agreement and consensus. But this point over here sounds like a fascinating, inspiring point. He says that the reason why, I'm quoting number one on the side, why is it that the Mashiach hasn't come yet, that we don't have the Gula, and I'm quoting the words, Lefi sheyotza oved haloz melibeinu peyoseinu shoiktim pe'eretz loylonu shechachnu z Yerushalayim. He said that the reason why Mashiach hasn't come is because we've forgotten Yerushalayim. We're too comfortable. We've forgotten to do the remembrance of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He says, because we are not, the reason why the Golos is so long, the reason why there's such an extended Golos and Mashiach hasn't come yet and the Gola hasn't arrived, the reason for that is because we've forgotten Yerushalayim. If you were to think more about Yerushalayim, and if you were to express more our sadness about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, says the Yaakov Emden, Mashiach would be here already. What do you think about that? It's very interesting, no? The reason why Mashiach hasn't come is because we don't think enough about Chorban HaBayis. It's quite interesting. So, yeah. What about the Beis HaKnesset or Beis HaMikdash? Don't you also need to leave behind an Amor? I'm looking around. No? Says the Bialach on the side, Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaMikdash, Shari B'chol Inyan. You don't have to leave an Amor in a Beis HaMikdash or a Shul. You don't have to. I believe the answer is expressed in Mishnah Sifkot Na'alev. I don't know for a fact, but I suggest, because it says, it's the simcha of having your own house, that's why you leave an amo behind. If it's not your house, if it's a shul, it's a bit smadash, where people daven, where people learn, that's not a dvar simcha, it's not a personal simcha. It's a community. Oh, yes, of course it is. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, okay.
You're probably the only one.
Okay, Rabbi Yisai. So, now, there is a very interesting chazanish which is brought down over here in point number two. I don't recall ever seeing such a opinion, and I certainly never saw it in real, but it brings down chazanish felt, you've got to have a amal amo in every single room. Have you heard of such a chumrah? Every room needs an amal amo. I've never seen this. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard of it. Chazanish is quoted, it doesn't write in his sefer, he's quoted in saying, every room needs an amal amo. Now, and you don't have an amal amo anywhere else.
You should leave in that room.
Yeah. Because
that's a new piece of
I, although, having said that, we've got to look what the correct place is for this amal amo. So here comes the Mishneh Berurah, or actually the Shulchan Aruch. Where do we do it? Look, Shulchan Aruch says, "Umeshayim mokoyim," and you leave behind a place. Amal amo. What's the next two words? Keneged ha-Pesach. What does it mean, keneged ha-Pesach? Opposite the door, opposite the entrance. Why is that? Mishneh Berurah of Cotton Gimel says, "Keneged ha-Pesach haynu noichach ha-Pesach kedei." In order sheiroe miad, they will be immediately visible, seen, recognized. Sheikones ha-Pesach. When you walk in, you say, "Oh." Walk in, you sit opposite. Makes a lot of sense. When you walk in, does anybody have a different minhag? Because there's another minhag, which Mishneh Berurah quotes. Does anybody have it anywhere else? Have you seen it anywhere else? Besides opposite. So there is what Shulchan Aruch says, keneged ha-Pesach. There's another custom as well, which is registered. The side, I don't know. Anybody seen on top of the, what?
That might be a practical.
Yeah. Correct. The Mishneh Berurah quotes opposite on top of the door, entrance door. So when you leave, you'll always see it on top. So it's either when you're walking in opposite, or when you're leaving the door on top of the. So that'd be the equivalent of this over here on top of there. So there is such a minhag, because once you're in the house, that's the most visible little place. So there is such a thing. Mishneh Berurah doesn't like it as much, but some of the achronim all like that. Haboisai, I saw once, and it's interesting shaila. I saw once somebody left the amal amo behind. Interesting shaila. He left the amal amo, and it was done so beautifully because the cement in the background was like scratched a little bit, and then looked almost like the coastal. It looked like a picture of the coastal. How should I describe it? There was like, so the wall was white, besides that amal amo, but then it was cut out in such a beautiful shape, and the cement in the background made it look much like the koisel, and underneath it, something like that. It looks beautiful, it looks very artistic. How was your opinion on that? I've seen it in real, I've seen it. And then I saw the person speak about it. Even better? So I totally hear where you're coming from, and I'm sure that there might be poskim who are fine with it. There are many. There are the quoting contemporary poskim that say that defeats the purpose. Why does it defeat the purpose? It's not. You don't. It's not meant to be an artistic, beautiful. It's meant to be zeichel ha-churban. You know, it reminds me, somebody once said, you know, his house was all very nebby house and very not very nice house and everything. And if somebody walked into his house and he said, you know, your house is, where's Zeichel HaChorban? I don't say the Amal Amo. And then the Balabai said, well, my whole house is Zeichel HaChorban. My whole house is Zeichel HaChorban. You know, I don't need that. So whilst this is but the point is, Zeichel HaChorban must be something which it takes away the value of the, it's meant to affect negatively the Zeichel HaChorban. So if you do it beautifully, I hear Rabbi Feingold's point. I can hear both sides of the coin. You know, the one that you could argue, yeah, look, it says Zeichel HaChorban. It says in Mishkoch Yerushalayim. The fact that it's done nicely, you know, doesn't matter. But the poskim don't like it so much, and they say that it's meant to take the idea. The idea of it is, as Shulchan Aruch says, Zeichel HaChorban abayis im loy eles Yerushalayim al roish simchasi. Yeah, there is an element of that. Absolutely, yeah. There is. Yeah, I suppose there is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about I don't know. I don't have a clarity in this. I just saw the post was discussing it. What if you put this foam shack on top of it, if it's covered up? Or in fact, you put a painting on top. Exactly, it can't be a zeicher if it's covered up. So it must be. So what you're saying is that it must be literally visible. So if you have your Ala Amah, make sure that it's visible. Don't put the foam. Don't put the foam shank there. It's gonna be visible. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I suppose that's fine. That is fine. Yeah.
It doesn't have to look like brick.
No, it does not need to be brick. It does not need to be brick. It just can't be the final layer.
Final layer is the final coat of paint as plaster. Because here he says...
Yeah, I know, but the Mishnevura brings from the Torah that afilo sadin besidu mitzayin amin mehani shir ala amal amal v'chen aminik. It doesn't have to be the cement mamash. It doesn't have to be... It's at the point, if you leave behind... You according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you leave out the paint, that's also okay. Yeah.
So, before you're saying that the Dubai of the Gori is nice, freshly painted, then you don't need to.
Yeah.
The Dubai of the Yid, who's not religious, or just.
Yeah, so that would be this. Yeah, so you're right in pointing this out. I believe the Shulchan Aruch's word indicate harizu bechizkosa ve'en mechayvin oiseliklof paksolim. The point is, you do not need to scratch it off. So whether it was a goy who lived before that, or it was a non-yid who didn't stick to the halacha, but at the end of the day, the point is, you don't have to scratch it off. You don't have to scratch it off. So yeah. Yeah, but the reality is, next time when a person repaints, then redecorates, you'll have to ensure. It actually happened to me. I kept the amal open, and then I had the house repainted a couple of years later, and then I forgot I wasn't home when the painter was there, and he painted it over. He must have thought, oh, look at that. Why is this strange square left? You know, the guy beforehand tried to cheat me, probably. You know, I don't know what he... So it only occurred to me afterwards that, look, he's repainted it over. So, yeah, obviously one has to scratch it off. But yet, to be at home when the painters are there. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned that there is a takona, a halacha, person's got to make sure. By the way, is it also in a flat or just the house? No difference. A person owns a flat, he's got to make sure that Amal Amo is kept. So, pardon? Yeah, so renting is not yours, so you can't do it. You can't do it, yeah. I know there are people out there who request permission. Who, if it's a long-term kind of rent, like in Switzerland, for instance, I know people tend to rent for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Literally, they rent for many, many decades. They rent. So, in such an instance, you don't really have the obligation. It's not on you to paint and decorate the house. It's done by the, but they request permission to leave that. And normally, you know, if you sign that you're gonna cover it once you leave, etc. Then.
Isn't that fairly standard? For example, if you want to put up bookshelves or whatever,
yeah, it is.
It's understood.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just saying that yes, the halacha rented you don't need to, but some people. So Rabbi Yisai, we learned that you live in Amal Amma. We said that if you purchase the place, you don't have to scratch it off. We also learned that Beis Medrash and Beis HaKnesses is not obligated to have the Amal Amma. We said that with regards to the place, it's opposite the entrance. There's other opinions. And we said that if you just write Zeichel Achub or something like that, that's not good enough. Yeah. So the Pchem Noah is 48 centimeters. Kund Chazanish is a bit more. It's 58. I want to say, although in principle you would say Sofik Darbonon, they call it. It's clearly Darbonon. It's clearly Darbonon. You could certainly do 48. But I think to myself, you know, what's the, you know, you do. That means according to the Chazanish, you're not Yotze this. To Zeich Lechoban. According to many Achoinim, you're not going to be Yotze if you do less Asher. So what's the point? You might as well add another few centimeters and you're...
You always have a little large space above the doorway.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, 48 centimeters is fine. I spoke to the kids of Dan Zimmer, was still kids of then. He said, for sure you can rely on the Rabbanon, on the Chaim Noah. But Lemaisa, I feel that. Kedai Beis HaMikdash, yeah, there's certain chumos which is hard to keep, you know what I'm saying? But here, what's the big deal? So, of course, if it's not very practical. Pardon?
Save money on
pain. Okay, Abbas, I wish you a very good evening. We'll continue the interesting halachas tomorrow.